News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Got a lot to get to, and only one of us can speak. So a lot on you, Dalton, in the 8 o'clock hour. I guess it's the pollen. I don't know. I opened my mouth this morning. You know, I don't talk to myself. So first time I found out that I had no voice, I was on the air. And Dalton's looking at me like, hey, man, I can't hear you. So anyway, we'll get around. I think it's getting a little bit better here this morning.
Seems to be the most of the texters who are trying to help out a little bit. Seems like bourbon and honey is the go-to here.
Yeah, they are requesting an inebriated broadcast, and I don't think I'm going to give it to them.
No one ever tells you to drink tequila to fix your throat. They never say, hey, a little tequila will clear that right up.
I don't think so.
The bourbon.
Yeah, bourbon, right, and honey, and yeah, it's a... So there's a lot to get to this hour, including, it looks like, judging from the text line, top of the line would be Biden's illness. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people wondering how this could have happened in terms of so much advancement in the illness itself. It's to a stage that's beyond what would first be recognized or notable, considering the amount of care that a president or former president gets of his personal care, blood work, and all that.
Yeah. So while some of us avoid going to the doctor, I think when you're president, you're kind of shepherded along to the doctor's office multiple times a month, probably, when you're that age. So, and of course, I realize prostate cancer is one of the most common types of cancer, and it's diagnosed at different stages. But as far as all the cancers go, prostate, one of the most treatable, one of the most well-known. And I don't know a whole lot about it, honestly. And I know we've had many listeners who've been through treatment and know a lot more about this world than I do. So you kind of have to take experts' opinions for what they are, right? And kind of group them all together and see what they all think. But the announcement, so Friday they come out and said when Biden was, he had a medical exam early this month. That's when they said Friday they found a small nodule, right, on the prostate. But then yesterday, an even more grave, I guess, analysis, although they're saying that, of course, treatment, recovery, it is very treatable, but it has really advanced. Just from the news release Friday to yesterday, they said the cancer cells have spread to the bone. His team said the cancer had been graded a Gleason score of 9. And this news story says that suggests his form is among the most aggressive. Maybe some of you who know more about that world can explain the Gleason scores to us. But you've had many medical experts weighing in on this yesterday. And then kind of hanging over all of this is the traditional be nice, right? When someone's been diagnosed with cancer. And I know Meghan McCain, of course, John McCain passed away from cancer. That was 7 years ago, believe it or not. But yesterday she was saying to keep politics out of this whole conversation, quote, cancer is hell. It is incredibly difficult for any family. And I understand that. And I don't think taking pot shots is necessarily the most moral thing to do. But to not have that discussion about how long has the president had cancer, how did it advance to this degree when he supposedly has the best medical care in the world. There's a lot of people asking that question. So you have like Dr. Howard Freeman here who posted, it is inconceivable that this was not being followed before he left the presidency. Gleason grade 9 would have had an elevated PSA level for some time before this diagnosis, and he must have had a PSA test numerous times before. This is odd. He said, I wish him well and hope he has an opportunity for maximizing his quality of life. You have another doctor here, Dr. Stephen Quay, flagging similar concerns, saying Biden's type of cancer is the easiest to diagnose when it first starts and progresses. Now, this is what he says. Listen, quote, the PSA blood test shows the rate of cancer cell growth. For even with the most aggressive form, it is a 5 to 7 year journey without treatment before it becomes metastatic, meaning it would be malpractice for this patient to show up and be first diagnosed with metastatic disease in May 2025. It is highly likely that he was carrying a diagnosis of prostate cancer throughout his White House tenure, and the American people were uninformed. And I don't think that would be very shocking to any of our listeners to hear that the American public had been uninformed.
No.
Dr. Mark Siegel, you've seen him on your Fox TV, I'm sure, said Biden, it was surprising Biden's illness was so aggressive given his high profile. Quote, I mean, he must have had the best possible care here. I'm a little taken aback that it's this far advanced. You have a urologist, Dr. David Schusterman, speculating Biden could have known for some time. Quote, the fact that we just find it at a Gleason 9 is just pretty much unheard of in this day and age of medicine. This is what I typically would see in a VA hospital where a patient hasn't had medical attention in 10 years, presents to an emergency room with bone pain, and then they find that it's metastatic prostate cancer. I'm sure there's medical experts out there saying this isn't uncommon, but everyone I've seen said this is kind of ridiculous on its face that they're saying just now they're finding out it was this aggressive. So there's a lot of questions out there, and I think Trump referenced it. I don't know everything he put out on Truth Social this week. I know that he sent Biden his best wishes. He said all that after that diagnosis yesterday, but I think he also brought up the whole auto pen scandal and saying, you know, who was making the decisions in the White House?
Believe it or not, that story, it's in the trash can right now because I had it out and I thought with this, the auto pen conversation now seemed a little moot here for the moment.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, we might get back to that. But that was a big story on Friday. The other thing is when you combine it with the Biden's cognitive health, was there cover-ups there near the end, which seems pretty obvious there were. All of this seems a little strange and all maybe somehow related, maybe. The book with Tapper and the other, you know, and I was listening to a podcast over the weekend, pretty much tearing into Tapper and playing examples of what he had to say prior to after the election when he said all this information came spilling forward where they couldn't keep up with it all.
Yeah, when he decided to become truth seeker again January 21st of 2025.
Yeah, well, right after the election.
Yeah, so it was November.
November is when he started to gather it. But all of this just seems strange when you kind of put all the dots together. It's like, what was going on during that? Who knows how long during his administration where the truth of about his health simply wasn't getting out at all.
Well, and Jason on the Mallory Piping text line at 251-343-0106, he said, do y'all see any connection between the HER tapes? Remember, those were just released Friday. I think Axios released a lot of them, and then Trump administration said they'd release the full five-plus-hour interview. He says, do y'all see any connection between the HER tapes released and the Biden health news? Seems like awful convenient timing to me. But then points to a video I watched yesterday from back in 2022 when then President Biden was giving an on-site speech. And I can't remember where it was. He was talking either about infrastructure or carcinogenic. He was talking about cancer and how cancer can fall on certain communities and not others. Of course, we see that here in our own backyard, depending on where industry is and higher rates of cancer. So he was discussing that. And a lot of people are saying it was kind of a slip up where he admitted then that he said, the reason I and so many other people my age have cancer. He said that back in 2022.
Wow.
And I think it was either brushed off as a slip up or they just didn't acknowledge it when he said it then. I didn't really think much of it otherwise.
And he's had skin cancer in the past, you know, where it's cancer, but it's simply removed and then it's gone. So I'm not sure. But certainly I can't be in Joe Biden's mind at all, especially as late as 2022.
But remember how much of the discussion up to and then after he dropped out of the presidential race was almost, and I think it was a real sympathy for him from the American people who see this old man who is going through a terrible time mentally, that cognitive decline, and then whatever else was going on with his health and personal life. It seemed like he was being propped up by the establishment and by his own family members, Jill and Hunter. Like they were just, whatever they could do to wring another little bit of power out of his life, they were going to do whatever they had to do. And this just seems like an extension of that. That they were waiting. I think the timing of all this is so obvious with this Jake Tapper book, some of these substantiated allegations from people within the Biden administration saying how bad the cover-up actually was for 4 years, and they wait until this moment, the Sunday before the Monday news. So they got us going and coming. Friday, they have the first report come out, and you had him doing interviews the last couple weeks to get ahead of this book release.
Mm-hmm.
They announced Friday they found a small nodule. Then right before this big media week starts on Sunday, they put out this diagnosis, which every doctor has said that I've read from says this just doesn't make sense. If he was getting any kind of decent medical care, they would have been tracking this way, way before it got to this level.
So is the thought?
I think they just using him as a prop. They continue to use him and his health and his life as a prop in order to limit the damage that comes their way and
the political damage
and extend their political power as long as they could ride that road. They were
so
using him.
Who's pulling the levers? Jill and family, Democratic Party? Who's making sure this news gets out now?
Well, whatever team is in place that's been staging the different stories for the last few months, because we didn't really hear from Biden at all after he lost the election. He comes out for that one Social Security speech and then two interviews, one with BBC and the other, I can't even
View.
Remember. Yeah, okay, The View, yeah. And then you get this. And so I don't know, I'm sure he had a different team when he was in the White House that was in charge of Joe Biden. Mm-hmm. You know, your Jake Sullivans and John Kirby's and whatever Obama hangers-on are still around. So I don't know if it's just the Biden family that's kind of in charge of messaging now, or if they have a special post-presidential crew they put with you to kind of limit the damage that can come towards the Democrats in the deep state.
I have an opinion on that.
What's that?
The stakes are too big. You're not going to leave it up to the Biden family to direct opinion on something like this. It's over their heads. You be quiet. We're gonna take care of all this.
Mm.
And you haven't really seen quotes from Joe Biden or Hunter Biden or the Biden family in these initial reports anyway, right?
Right.
They're not quoted at all. This is more of a machine announcement. And then we're all left up to each other or to ourselves to figure out, oh, what exactly does this mean, or why is the message what it is when it is right now?
Mm-hmm. And that's not to say that this isn't sad.
Right.
It's a president
sure.
with a pretty serious cancer diagnosis, and he's suffering. I'm sure he has family and friends that are suffering. But for the political establishment to come out and say, don't make this political, that's exactly what they would love, for people to say, all right, well, the old man, he's going through it now. We better just kind of shush up about these last 4 years. It's all, you know, bygones, let bygones be bygones. It's mm-hmm. past us now. That's what they want. If they were covering up his mental health to the point where we know it was so obvious, what about his physical health? What about this cancer? How long has he been fighting this? It's just, there's a lot of questions that come from this news this weekend.
Last week, I believe it was the first time we heard the word wheelchair in what the leak out of the new book,
mm-hmm.
that the Democrats at one point were thinking that because of his spinal of his spine was getting weaker and weaker, and it was affecting his gait, and they were worried about him falling and going up and down with the...
They said the arthritis was bad.
And that's fine. That's what happens to older people. But that before the... I guess even he was using... He might have been used as a political pawn, even in this, that no wheelchair has been used yet or was used before the election.
Mm.
They just didn't want that hint of weakness in the Democratic Party or questions coming up like, wait a minute now there's a wheelchair?
Yeah.
How upfront were you being about his health could have affected the votes that went to Kamala Harris?
Yeah. I saw someone on online saying basically the Biden presidency and who knows how many presidencies prior have basically become the King of England. You know, a whole lot of pomp and circumstance, but not a whole lot of actual decision making through the executive. Well, it's being made, but not by the person elected president. And Trump is going the other way. He's
exact
taking
opposite.
All of the executive power he can and doing what he wants to do, which is why he's hated so much.
He's hated and he's admired and he's in the front of the line. He's saying, this is what we're doing. This is why we're doing it. I was given a mandate by the voters. He's a little frustrated with the Supreme Court at the moment.
Yeah.
Obviously. It's 8:21, Dan and Dalton. And what's going on? And I guess soon Trump's going to have a double phone call.
Double
or one
phone
or the
call.
Other?
Yeah, put him on a three-way phone call there, Zelensky and Putin. Hey, thanks, Kane. Let me tell you about 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Trey Bennett has assembled a team here on the Gulf Coast with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. It's just great at what they do, and they've been in business now for over 18 years, making junk disappear. They're so respectful of your home or business, wherever they're asked to come in and get rid of the junk, because they know it's your place, right? They're going to treat it with that kind of respect, and they make it look so great once they make that junk disappear. It's so easy to set up an appointment with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. A couple different ways. You can either dial that number on your phone, 1-800-GOT-JUNK, or you can go online to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. And enter your information there and make your appointment. You can often get same-day appointment also. So if you've kind of procrastinated or a date sneaks up on you and you need that junk out of there, give them a call and set that appointment up. They can often come out that exact same day, and they call when they're on their way. Plenty of 5-star Google reviews, actually 328 Google reviews, and 5 stars is the best you can do, all left by people who have used 1-800-GOT-JUNK locally. Matthew just left a review a month ago, said, "Guys were awesome, had several large items left behind from our recent move and needed gone ASAP, and 1-800-GOT-JUNK saved us. Stuff was cleared out the following morning. Highly recommend. Trey and Gant are fantastic." And Matthew even left a before and after picture of the junk and it being gone. He did a great job. So set up your appointment today. 1-800-GOT-JUNK is the number, and online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com.
Bucky Beaver says, plain and simple, the American people were lied to for 4 years. He was only president in title. He wasn't running the country. That's what he thinks.
A lot of similar sentiment on the Mallory Piping text line, 251-343-0106. Damn Yankee texted in, "Prostate cancer is treatable with early diagnosis. How could this possibly have been missed? Conspiracies and cover-ups will follow him till the end." Michael said, "There's no way that Biden's cancer was just discovered, just like there was no possible way they didn't see cognitive issues with Joe during his presidency." Let's see. Doesn't Have Meta said, "Biden is the first one. Just wait, Kamala will be next, most likely an accident, possible plane crash, or it could be Jill. The Democrats are getting rid of the loose ends." It's wild that we're talking about that in America, and I think it's been the case for a while, but it's like Americans have just accepted the fact, and maybe it's not as dramatic as it seems, but accepted the fact that, there's political killings and cover-ups and things that are happening all the time and sometimes at the highest level.
Yeah, Tucker Carlson said this about 6 months ago. It occurred to him for the first time, we interfere in people's elections all the time. Mm-hmm. That's what America... Well, where are the stakes largest?
Right here.
Right here.
Our own backyard.
Yeah, and what level of corruption are we dealing with that we're either not paying attention to or would rather not believe.
The Real Sam says, "Surely the Democrats were intimidating the doctor or doctors the same way as they intimidated everyone else to get them to do whatever they wanted." James texting in, "Dalton, that's absolutely true. It's not the first time. As you know, Reagan was a vegetable too in his last years. Term limits, and we need younger leaders." Backstrap Stacker says, "They're going to kill Biden off by July. He's a liability at this point. Time to get him out of the picture." Rock and Roll Doctor says, "Biden had cancer the whole time. He was not cognizant. No one knows who was running our country other than Dr. Jill. Should have been removed from office with the 25th Amendment. But do the pardons still apply with the unoriginal / auto pen signature?" I think there has to be maybe the largest investigation we've ever seen.
The auto pen?
Not just into the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
How bad was his health? Who was making the actual decisions? That's another thing that Trump has to get done, and probably in the next year before losing the... possibly the House and Senate. 8:30, more after the break.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton. It's near the end of the show, so my voice is coming back. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
But I guess maybe it'll be back full force for your Tuesday. That's my hope. It's been a struggle this morning. I don't know what it is.
Nah, you'll snap out of it. It's a long work week, too.
Thanks,
four more days after this. So, yeah. Buck, you got to get it together, man.
Actually, I'm going to Virginia.
Ah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So, over the weekend, of course, a whole lot of news. And then Trump has a really busy week ahead of him. We'll get into that. We have so many texts on the Mallory Piping text line, 251-343-0106. And I'm going to solicit some texts here. And maybe there's a chance that none of our listeners were at the Sand in My Boots Festival this weekend. But I had, and I don't get this often, I had serious FOMO. The, you know, FOMO, Dan. You remember FOMO? Fear of missing out.
Yeah.
I mean, it seemed like such
I'm old. I'm not that old.
Such a great time over the weekend in Gulf Shores with the Sand in My Boots Festival. I'm just wondering how it all played out on the ground, because this is the last year. That was the last festival on the 15-year term contract. They're going to have to come to an agreement or not. Just want to know how things were out there on the beach by the Hangout Festival.
I wonder
or
how
by the
much
Hangout.
The young people enjoyed Brooks and Dunn, whose last hit was probably, you know, actually chart hit, might have been 10 years ago.
So they did like a mixtape of their hits last year. And
oh yeah,
so they had like current artists come on and sing their classics.
That's right.
And that put some of them back on the Billboard.
Yep.
And made some, like Neon Moon became one of their most, is one of the most popular songs now, today. So it's pretty wild how that comes back around. But yeah, let me know if you were out there. I'd just love to hear from someone who was on the beach at the festival this weekend. But back to the text, mostly about Biden's health after that advanced cancer diagnosis that they announced yesterday. Sean says, well, let's start with this text. Let's see. If I'm not mistaken, they did a physical and cognitive test just before the debate last year and said he passed with flying colors. Yeah, remember, behind closed doors, he was in fantastic condition.
He was whistling around everybody, getting more things done than they could do themselves as a team.
They would just stare on in awe as he would command the room.
Yeah.
That's how they played that whole thing. Sean says, how did Dr. Jill not catch this? Another texter here. To the caller that said we need term limits, we have term limits. They're called elections. Toothless Bammer said someone needs to remind Rachel Levine, Sarah McBride, and even the old, even the Bud Light, of prostate exams. Okay, I got what you're saying there, Toothless Bammer. Angry Patriot. I wouldn't be surprised if there are other medical issues to bring sympathy for the Bidens. They have much to expose. Sad for Biden. He was probably diagnosed by Fauci. Biden was installed, not elected. Anybody looking at voting numbers could see this. Another texter, seeing will be believing. The Republicans come up with all the criminal things the Democrats have done, but no one is ever held accountable. And DEI texter texting us this morning, clearly MAGA knows Trump is screwing everything up and running the country into the ground. Because you're suddenly talking about Biden again, LOL. That's from DEI texter, who clearly has not been paying attention to why Biden is being discussed so much right now. It's because all these tell-all books are coming out. Finally, people are, well, supposedly giving all the dirt on the 4 years of the Biden administration. I still think that this Tapper book and some of these others are a bit overblown for what we're actually going to learn, because I think those are in many ways just as much of a cover-up as some of these other ruses they pull to kind of get you to look the other way. If you have Jake Tapper, Mr. CNN, coming out with a tell-all book, there's some people assuming that, well, that's all, right? It's tell-all. I would imagine that they give him a little bit of juice, a little bit of stuff to work with. Hey, did you know we were thinking about putting Biden in a wheelchair? Why don't you put that out there?
You know, and that, speaking of Tapper again, and this is old news, I know, but if we're in the middle of this conversation about Tapper and that book and his conversation with Laura Trump, and that, I don't know how long ago that was, where Laura Trump was on, and he, when she brought up his cognitive abilities or lack thereof, he said, you are zoning in on his stutter. How do you think little kids feel who have a stutter? You're making fun of his stutter. She said, I wasn't even aware he had a stutter. I'm just talking about, and he overrode her and said, no, we're not having it.
Yeah.
He did that to a number, but I remember that stutter line, which was to prevent her from going on to just talk about the bigger picture. He wouldn't have it, and he just played so greater than thou. Like,
yeah.
I know about this. I'm an insider. I know what's going on here. You're being unfair, and you need to be quiet about this. Now, to be the author of this book and just claim that everybody couldn't wait to talk after the election finals were in, maybe they couldn't wait to talk, but where were you ahead of time before all this?
If we were to take this book seriously, and maybe we should, maybe it's accurate, maybe he did turn over a new leaf, but the only way I would really take it seriously, if it was from ex-CNN anchor Jake Tapper.
Yeah.
If he had been saying this 4 years ago and they let him go for speaking out of line, then I would maybe take his book here. But they still have some stuff that's quote-unquote damning in it, which is why you saw this tour from Biden, this two-interview tour, and then these medical diagnoses over these last few days. Again, it's sad. It's terrible. He's got advanced cancer. Who knows how long they were propping him up and using him for different reasons and looking past the cognitive decline.
It's amazing to watch some of the personalities coming out now, Dalton, and being just indignant about the way this happened. Like they weren't there. Chuck Todd, he had a front row with NBC until he lost his job, right? He was the...
I don't even remember.
Yeah, Chuck Todd was the Sunday morning show on NBC. And now you hear these different podcasts, and they're all laughing or indignant about all this cover-up, talking about it like they're Republicans.
Yeah.
Well, you guys were members of the press. Obviously, the press was covering for Biden as well. That's got to be part of the story.
Mm-hmm.
The press can't just blow it wide open and say, ah, there it is.
Yeah.
No, you were it. You were covering
it. There we go, uncovering the truth again.
Yeah,
what are you talking about?
After the election.
Yeah.
Uncovering when there are no stakes to be involved in terms of who's the next president.
Yeah, now, the stakes involved are to get their party back on the right track,
yeah.
Which was done great harm. By the way, they've played things here over these last 10 years, I'd say. Natalie said the festival this year, only about 15 arrests on one day compared to the previous year, approximately 200 arrests. Says enough. That's from Natalie. CB Carl said, I read they had a wedding chapel at the festival. I wonder how many people got married there. Yeah, if you get married at Morgan Wallen Fest, what are your odds of that marriage staying?
I would say...
Oh, we got married 70 years ago at the Sand yeah, in My Boots Festival.
Said no one ever.
Text here, voting is not term limits if there's no election integrity. Greg said, if you missed Sand in My Boots and you're Brooks and Dunn, June 6th at the Soul Kitchen, Mustache the Band, playing all your favorite 90s country. Y'all would love them.
Okay.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Greg.
Yeah, that's cool.
Pete says, DEI texter amply demonstrates why Democrats are losing. They are disconnected from reality and reason. Art says, good morning, guys. Not to worry, Dan. You sound fine today.
Thanks, Art.
Fran Thompson at the Mullet Rapper has a great analysis of the benefits and drawbacks of the music festival up on Facebook. We headed to Callahan's to get away from all that madness. That's from Baldwin Bryan. Love the name, Baldwin Bryan. And thanks for that. I'll have to read Thompson's piece on that. Big Enos says, maybe no one talked sooner because they didn't want to be Clintoned. And Toothless Bammer says, yep, the timing of this diagnosis is just a smokescreen. As bad as you think Democrats are, media patting themselves on the back now are much worse. 251-343-0106 if you want to hop on the Mallory Piping text line.
The media actually thought they were doing the right thing because the media is in the court of thinking Trump can't win at any cost. Trump's bad for America. He's bad for the swamp. He's bad for the games that have been played in Washington, D.C. forever. He's bad for the people you meet at the cocktail party. He's bad for a lot of Republicans
mm-hmm.
in that corrupt world of Washington, D.C. A ton of Republicans that are hiding for cover from Trump and hoping they don't get exposed. So, yeah, he's bad for a lot of elected officials, Republican and Democrat, and the media that plays along.
Yeah, and we say that a lot, and a lot of people say that, but there's still a lot that this administration has been tasked with that you're not seeing many advancements in. And a lot of it has to do with criminal cases mm-hmm. and going after, you know, sometimes it seems like the Trump voters, American voters, Trump fans, are more upset about how Trump was treated and want to see vengeance more than Trump seems to. I mean, it's clear that he wants to get back at some of these people, like Comey and some of these who have been going after
him. Letitia James.
But you look at, you know, what is Bondi doing? What is Cash Patel? I mean, even just the Epstein thing. They say they're going to give this list out, the black book, the names of all the people on Epstein's Island. They're going to uncover all of this, put all of the information out there for the people to see. They do that little binder thing where they have the quote unquote conservative influencers walking out of the White House with the Epstein binders. That was an entirely silly thing that they did there. And then you see this weekend where Patel and Bongino were being interviewed side by side, same room. And were asked about Epstein and whether it was a suicide or not, and they both said, yeah, based on everything we have, everything we've seen, it was a suicide from Epstein. So and that might be the case, but there were a lot of people who were hoping they'd see a little more action when it came to going after the deep state and going after some of these big players that have been in the government for so long.
Yeah, I agree. And that was an interesting sit-down. I only saw part of it. And Bongino's got such a television presence with his ears with Fox. He seemed like the director, and Patel was deputy in the interview that I watched. Mm. He was the more forceful voice of the two of them. And now what happens with Comey? I mean, you get the impression this is the, I don't know, maybe was it the last thing they really wanted? Was like, oh, I don't got to deal with this.
Yeah.
Well, we got James Comey acting like a fool on social media, and now we've got no choice but to follow up with this. And where does this go? Is there an appetite to even do much with it? Does it get censored? Or what happens when you're out of office? I don't know. He's going to sit in front of the House committee and get embarrassed.
That's about the only route I can see him taking
and
this.
And those are interviews that are not going to be covered in legacy media anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like a lot of people, their mind is going to turn or be changed from those hearings, because you're not going to see those clips anywhere but the usual suspects.
No, you'd get your 5 minutes of Marjorie Taylor Greene shouting him down, making some valid points and being blustery and other, and then you'll get 5 minutes of a Democrat saying, let me reclaim my time. Yeah. Comey, you were a great patriot. We appreciate all your service. I can't believe. Yeah, copy and paste. Same thing over and over again. So I doubt that goes anywhere.
If that's as far as that goes, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. Because what he did is really, really wrong.
He could be, I mean, could say he was calling for the assassination of Trump, more or less.
If a truck driver does that, is he in trouble?
Mm-hmm.
Probably.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's worse that it's a former FBI director. It's worse, you know, for sure. But you just can't go around doing that stuff. And it's almost unthinkable that a former FBI director would fall into that trap. What the hell was he doing? Well, and for him to say, well, I knew it was political, but I didn't know what it meant. Well, is that the dumbest explanation? Because you're thinking, I know this thing's on fire, but I don't know what it really meant. Mm-hmm. So therefore, well, why would you throw something on fire on social media if you don't even clearly understand the implications?
Yeah, not the best investigator.
No.
Former deputy or former director of the FBI. DEI texter, who's just killing it this morning, keep texting, this is great, says the cover-ups are the fake assassination attempt and Starlink rigging the election. So saying that Trump faked getting shot, and that it was Elon and Starlink rigging the election. 251-343-0106. I wonder if Trump will be using Starlink, or Putin or Zelensky, when they hop on the phone today. Separate phone calls, Trump talking to Putin and Zelensky. You just had Zelensky, so it was Pope Leo's first mass.
Yeah, inauguration mass, right.
And you had, plenty of heads of state there, but the VP was there, Vance, Marco Rubio was there, and they also kind of had a little side meeting about the war in Ukraine with Zelensky. So today you'll get these calls. Trump, maybe once he gets on the phone with Putin and they're talking person to person, you start to see some advancement here. Witkoff, the envoy, Steve Witkoff, said the president hopes to, quote, clear up some of the logjam, and we'll see. Zelensky met with Vance and Rubio in Rome, stressing Ukraine's commitment to real diplomacy and the need for continued sanctions. Also yesterday, Trump talked with NATO leaders and European heads of state, and they publicly backed the proposed 30-day ceasefire. But right now, it seems like Russia and Putin, they're trying to squeeze every little bit out of the Ukraine as they can in these last minutes of the negotiations.
Pounding them over the weekend with drone strikes that we haven't seen the entire war.
273 drones.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, the largest since the war began. So I think they're just trying to, what Russia's trying to put off is, hey, we don't have to stop. The only way we'll stop is if we want to stop, and we can keep coming.
Yeah.
How Trump's playing this behind the scenes, or how forceful he is with Putin, I think is really interesting. Maybe we'll get a read out of the call today. I don't know if we will or not.
Also, over the weekend, Rubio, I would assume is Catholic. His parents are from Cuba. He was over at the Vatican saying this could be a venue where some of the peace talks actually happen.
Ah.
And you got Zelensky there at the inaugural mass, a Jewish comic, at the Pope's inaugural mass. I mean, that scene was written by Mel Brooks himself. It is 8:50, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings, and more of your texts on the way.
Thanks, Kane. 855 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. This segment brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Take a swing at making baseball entries this season on Underdog. It's one of the fastest growing sports game apps, and you can play in Alabama. I was playing Underdog Fantasy all weekend with playoff games and baseball and golf. It's a whole heck of a lot of fun. The Underdog app actually has over 100,000 five-star reviews and millions of people playing. It's really easy to set up your entry and play along. Download the Underdog Fantasy app. Then when you're setting up your Champions Game entry, choose whether a player will go higher or lower on one of their stats. So in baseball, you're talking stats like home runs, strikeouts, total bases, but they have just all kinds of stats you could choose from. And then you just need two players to make an entry. So you choose higher or lower on one of the stats, have at least two players, and you're good to go. You can keep adding players, and they can be from different leagues or different teams within the same sport. But the more players you add, the more money you might win. You can play with as little as $1. If you get everything right, you could win up to 1,000 times your money. So do it today. Download the Underdog Fantasy app and sign up with promo code Dalton, D-A-L-T-O-N. Unlock a special offer of up to $1,000 in bonus cash when you make your first deposit. It's the Underdog app, promo code Dalton. Must be 19-plus in Alabama and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. If you're concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
Angry Patriot asks, I want to know why you two never do impressions or voices. You must have one. I think Dalton, I always thought I was pretty good at some of this. Dalton is much better. And this morning, as it turns out, I can't even impersonate myself.
Someone thought you were doing Biden this morning. Somebody thought. I don't think it's that bad.
Anyway, and Big Ina says that Epstein was an Israeli asset to blackmail our politicians. You'll never hear the truth about that. Okay.
Well, and I mean, you will. There are plenty of people saying that, but you just won't hear it on CNN or Fox News, or probably won't hear anyone in the Trump administration say it while they're a member of the Trump administration. But I mean, Ghislaine Maxwell's dad was like top spy, top Mossad spy. So there's a lot of links there. And then I wonder. And not to dive too far into the conspiracy world, but how much of this Diddy thing is similar? You know, there's people saying that Diddy, P. Diddy, Puff Daddy was doing the same thing that Epstein was, just with a different class of celebrity, mm-hmm. right? More of your hip-hop actors, actresses. So, but they're kind of airing all that out right now during this Diddy trial, which I've not been paying attention to like some people have. But
I read the accounts every day, and they're just pretty similar, so I wouldn't say anything, you know. It's salacious for mm-hmm. sure.
A lot of, yeah.
I'm waiting on the names. I think we all are.
Yeah, I think that's the main thing for both Epstein and with P. Diddy. 8:58 coming up. We have the Jeff Poor Show on the way, and he's got another great guest list he will have. Let's see here. State Representative Shane Stringer on in hour number one with Jeff. Former State Senator Dick Brubaker joining Jeff in hour two. I'm sure they'll do some sort of post-session wrap-up with the legislative session ending last week. And then Dale Jackson with WVNN joins Jeff in hour number three.
Pray for me and my voice, or whatever it is I'm dealing with here. I guess it's pollen. I'm like a month and a half late for that.
I think doctor's orders. You got to shut your mouth until 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. No more talking. That's difficult.
Okay.